At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Morning.
Morning.
Hi, this is Bunty. I'm based out of London. I work for a range of different organizations, advising them on a range of different things. Here I am doing this show with Rohit.
Hi. This is Rohit Chopra. I teach at a university in the US on the West Coast in California. And this is our second episode, strictly, of India Explained. So a quick word of thanks to people who enjoyed it, who sent constructive feedback and gave excellent suggestions. And we'll be implementing those suggestions going forward. So Bunty, how are things at your end? What's been happening on your side of the pond, so to speak?
Well, a lot's going on. The other thing I suddenly realized as I was introducing myself, I was being ultra cryptic. That's not the intention. The other thing to tell listeners is that you and me kind of go back about 30, 35 years, which kind of dates us. But we are childhood friends. We grew up in India. We live in different parts of the world. And we are doing something that we enjoy doing, which is chatting to each other and talking about things. What's going on in London this week? London was all about the terror attack. I thought it was really interesting reading and catching up on some of the media commentary around it. Because if you look at the facts, there was one guy who drove a car at great speed, injuring and killing four people, and then he stabbed a police officer. So I think in the give and take of things, about five people died. And I think there was this clip on the BBC, I think it was the BBC, and there was this guy, again, I'm going to be rubbish with names, from The Guardian, who said that what the BBC had done is, by calling it a terrorist incident as opposed to just like a mad psychotic criminal incident, they had kind of glorified it and given what these people were looking for anyway. So I'm not belittling. And the reason I'm picking this up is that's what's been center stage in London for the last week or so. It was an awful thing to have happened. Sympathies for the families who have lost loved ones. And these were like visitors who came to see this great city, and something like this happened. I think the point that this guy made on the BBC the other day was that, you know, don't glorify these nutters, because, you know, then they get massive gas and do more of this nonsense. So that's unfortunately what's been center stage. But other than that, life's been okay. How are things with you, Rohit?
Very good. Bit of a break between terms. I think I mentioned that. So, I with my family, we just went to Legoland, which is in Southern California, and it brought back memories of Appu Ghar, if you remember, from the 1980s. You were talking about having known each other for 35 years. I realized that one has been through so many political phases in India, from socialism, mixed economy, to neoliberalism, if you want to call it that, to Hindu nationalism now, to the, you know, Berlin Wall falling globally. And I'm, one of the landmark events in that, I think, was the rise and fall of Appu Ghar.
Yes.
Because it kind of blew the minds of the middle classes in India. But I'll just share one, fairly scary fact about Appu Ghar I found out, long after I used to go there, which is that I believe Appu Ghar was actually built of amusement rides that were purchased on auction from first world amusement parks after they were no longer deemed safe for the first world. So
you are joking.
No,
is that true?
I'm pretty sure that's true. You know, I do remember reading about this somewhere. I think maybe it was a disgruntled Babu in Delhi who let out this news. But, I don't know. I guess we were, maybe competing with Zambia and Laos, and we maybe we had a little more foreign exchange than them. So anyway,
I remember going to Apughar when I came to see you in Delhi one time, we went to see a match between India 11 and PSV Eindhoven, and PSV Eindhoven Philips brought the Dutch team over, and they lost 11-0 or something like that. And then we walked to Apughar, and I remember my recollection of Apughar was that it was Asian Games logo inspired monstrosity. But I didn't know that all the rides were third hand rejected beyond being safe. Yeah, that's an odd one too. That's a really odd
So to speak. Anyway.
So what are we going to talk about this week, Rohit?
Well, yes, a few big stories. I think one of the stories that's all over the place is is the one that you sent me a link to about the Shiv Sena politician Ravindra Gaikwad beating up an employee of Air India, a 60-year-old man with his slippers, because he wasn't given a first-class seat or something to the effect. And the facts are always murky. Gaikwad's wife is saying something. And he's been banned by the Federation of Indian Airlines, but since then, the Shiv Sena Senics have taken out a protest in Osmanabad. He's refusing to say sorry. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, first, let's start with Air India, our flag carrier. It is a flawed airline, I'll give you that. Because I think customer service is not front and center for that airline, only because it's been treated like public property by politicians. To be honest, when we are traveling back home, if I have a choice of flying Air India or any other airline, I would choose any other airline. I do not like transiting through the Middle East because it's just something about transiting through Dubai and Abu Dhabi where people treat people of Indian origin like utter rubbish, which I just don't get. I think there's some kind of inherent racism going on there. I find it odd traveling through the Middle East, but that's sometimes the only connection. I've traveled frequently on jet. When Kingfisher was a going airline, I traveled on it once and I said never again because they couldn't fool, it just wasn't a comfortable way to fly. Some of my friends fly Air India and they talk about, it's good kit, new planes, great food, lots of booze. But I never managed to do that Air India thing because, and it's not snobbery, it's just that I cannot have some minister seconding a plane and taking London, all of a sudden you're landing in Ahmedabad or, Bhopal, where the plane's supposed to be going somewhere else. They treat it like their own cycle rickshaw. Now, that being the backdrop, I was surprised, I was kind of not surprised, where this politician got on, the Shiv Sena MP got on the aeroplane and then decided not to leave the aeroplane after it had landed, and then assaulted a 60-year-old man with his slippers, which I thought was kind of out of place. What has happened since the story first broke is now he's done a U-turn. So he behaved like a complete jackass, basically being a thug, which is what he behaved like. But now what he's trying to do, and I've just picked this up on Rediff, is he's trying to spin it as he was basically asking people for a complaint book to complain about the appalling level of service. Now, I sometimes feel that, I get bad service, but that has not triggered me to kind of beat up elderly customer service representatives. So that's the strange thing. I thought it was appalling behavior for somebody who holds nominal political office. I know the Shiv Sena are full of themselves because they're in Maharashtra and it's one of the most prosperous states. But in the scheme of things, it's pretty nominal as a political movement. And he's a bit player in a nominal movement. And for him to kind of throw his weight about, I found that very odd. And then trying to spin it as something that he's trying to improve the service quality of Air India, which genuinely I think needs improving, but is not the way this guy wants to do. So that's my take on it. What do you think?
Well, Okay, first a couple of things. I'm going to digress slightly and just say that, the single best flight I have ever flown on has been an Etihad flight through the Middle East.
Right.
So, and it was the customer service was really impeccable. It was excellent. I've in fact faced insidious racism, if I were to call it that, on some of the flights that go through Europe.
Right.
And one of the very interesting experiences I've had is that, sometimes flying through Amsterdam or Zurich or Frankfurt or Paris, it often happens that the people who work in airport security tend to be immigrants, right? Many of them are immigrants from the Middle East. Some might be from Bangladesh, even India. I've actually found that those immigrants of brown skin actually give other brown-skinned passengers, like those from India, a lot more attitude than they give white passengers. So, that may be a sort of global thing. But yeah, coming back to the question of this kind of behavior, you're absolutely right. I think two points to be made. First, as far as Air India's level of customer service goes, I don't think anyone is in any kind of disagreement there. I've traveled once by Air India. Going was an absolute nightmare because they delayed the flight. The lights in the, I think, last third of the plane weren't working, so they just moved everyone up. And, the seating went for a toss. The flight was 5 hours late. Coming back, it turned out to be a wonderful flight. It was empty. The servers, the air hostesses, the steward—they were all wonderful. We got plied with food, so it's a bit of luck of the draw. But you used the word triggered, and to me, there seems to be, aside from this specific incident, something there about the psychology of the Shiv Sena. It's a partner with the BJP in Maharashtra, but politically, it really doesn't have that much clout. And I wonder if this kind of anger we are seeing from the Shiv Sena in all kinds of ways, and also the break-off party, the MNS, which was founded by Raj Thackeray after Uddhav Thackeray and Raj Thackeray split, breaking toll booths, beating up people. If this is a kind of tantrum at not having any power, the Shiv Sena really is the spoilt brat of political parties, as it were. So that's one thought that comes to mind. And the second thought that comes to mind is, this habit of beating people. I remember someone telling me a gentleman worked for an Indian industrialist, and I won't name it him, name the company, but it's one of these Indian industrialists in the textile area, and he was a senior official, and he said that, one day he actually heard screams coming from the boss's office, and he realized the door was slightly ajar. He went by, and he saw the boss, this industrialist, actually physically assaulting another senior employee. So, for some, this, we were talking about human resources the last time around, but this physically assaulting employees actually seems to be kind of par for the course in India, which is very troubling.
Had HR got involved in that situation, it would have been very interesting because what they would have done is said that first the senior employee must have provoked the management to taking action. No, but in all seriousness, I think it's very interesting talking about airline quality and airline service, and maybe we can, because it's an aspect of our lives at least that is front and center, because we have to travel a lot and often travel back to India. I was thinking that there may be something in us trying to do something where if some of our listeners have had rubbish experiences with airlines, so basically call out airlines that have been shit to people flying out and into India. And it would be fantastic to have an index or some kind of our own personal trip advisor, which basically sets out that these airlines are basically utterly rubbish in dealing with Indian people, Indian sensitivities, and Indian culture. And then there are some airlines that are amazing, and it'll be I'd be very keen to learn from that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think we could call it can let's think of an Indian word for just maybe shikayat.com or
Exactly.
something like that. It would be a great concept, and I really think it would help people, right? Customer service reviews of airline experiences.
Correct.
Magnificent idea. Let's actually work on this, Bunty, and get this going. And should we move on now to the next story?
Yeah, let's go.
You
But the next thing that Rohit, you sent across to me was this thing about the parliament being hijacked using a finance bill. I didn't read enough of it to know what was going on, but tell us what drove you to pick that story?
Well, it's there's been a young man by the name of Meghnad, I think. He's on Twitter. And he's actually been drawing attention to this for quite a while. And the point he's been making is he made a very interesting observation, I think, a few weeks ago. That there was this chaos going on in Ramjas College, right? Where this there was supposed to be an event featuring Umar Khalidi. I think he's a student at JNU. He was
Right.
already involved in a controversy where allegedly he and some other people called for the breakup of India. So that was one controversy. And
Okay.
then he was invited to a university in Delhi, and the ABVP turned up there and created a ruckus. I believe the event had to be called off. Shehla Rashid, who was a leader of a student union in JNU, she also had to speak. Now, this
Right.
young man Meghnad, he made a very interesting point on Twitter, and I'm going to try and see if I can just pull up his account as we speak, because I think he deserves credit for this. He said that this is a sideshow. While this is going on, behind your back, this fairly draconian sort of bill is being passed,
Yeah.
and he said this is sort of the political. It's yes, his. I'm going to interrupt here. His account is Meghnad, and it's at Meghnad. He calls himself the resident policy nerd at the office of MP Tathagata Satpathy, and he's a columnist at News Laundry. And he's been sort of tweeting about this, and his point is that, while all of this is going on, this is sort of the BJP's modus operandi. They have this sideshow going on, they're sneaking this bill. Now, it's a finance bill, but under this, any number of other things have been passed, right? Without, and it's kind of a subversion of the Constitution from what I can understand. So, the specific story I had in mind is a story in News Laundry, which says, you've just been punked. It's a story on 23rd March, newslaundry.com, Finance Bill 2017. You've just been punked. And some of the changes that have been effected under the umbrella of this finance bill are basically the fact that A, political parties don't need to disclose the source of their donations. B, the cap on donations has been lifted. C, a number of different tribunals that served oversight functions have been now combined, and the government is in charge of appointing people to them, as I understand it. So again, it creates, all kinds of complications. And very worryingly, the income tax department can now, on suspicion, attach your property. So there's been no opposition, sustained opposition, although in fairness, a few principled members of parliament have really, taken this issue up. But the complete absence of sustained, detailed coverage in any of our mainstream media organizations is, I think, the really alarming fact here.
Why do you think that is? I mean, I think I'm just looking through this News Laundry thing that you called out, and just so anybody can donate to political parties anonymously using an instrument called electoral bond. So effectively, you and me could start funding a political party of our choice anonymously. Donation from foreign sources will be anonymous. That's very interesting. Maybe one of the reasons the mainstream media isn't picking that up is probably the mainstream media is lined up behind different political interests. I mean, we've spoken about this in private conversations that I'm not saying all of the media is a sellout, but there are the people basically have to line up behind who's in power and who's coming into power. And maybe a bit of that's going on, and that's why they've kept it quiet. Maybe media bodies are funding political parties. I don't know. But it's an interesting one you spotted. I'm thinking, in terms of a normal person's day-to-day life, what impact will it have? I'm just thinking, so apart from you bankrolling a party, which in itself is actually pretty awful, Is there anything else that you picked up, Rohit, in that bill?
Well, I think the implications of these facts, I think that, it's going to produce a chilling effect. And, we are now seeing a kind of BJP wave. And I think the BJP is very clear about wanting to decimate the Congress. There are all kinds of rumors afloat about the right broadly actually even funding some of the Muslim parties like the MIM, which the OACs are, associated with. It's in the realm of rumor, but there are these rumors floating about that it's actually the RSS that funds the MIM because they would very happily dilute the vote that goes to the Congress. So this is just going to create that kind of lopsided balance in funding. But
Right.
even if the Congress were, in the unlikely event they were to come back to power, it's the kind of bill which parties are going to be very happy with. So whoever is in power is going to keep this law. I don't think they're going to, change it as such. And I think the larger implications for democratic debate are truly very worrisome. It's going to produce a kind of culture of internal self-censorship.
Right.
And it happens so murkily that a lot of people are just unaware of it. So, I always find that my theory is that the RSS, it actually doesn't, and even the Hindu right, they don't actually mind the mockery they get about, cow urine and the pushback Viman and the bizarre claims they make, because, while all of that goes on and our media is very enamored and laughing about all that stuff, there's all this other sort of more dangerous stuff that goes on.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we are probably hitting upon is that the media in India, its role and relevance, because it, pretty much through the 70s and 80s, media consumption, and I'm going to kind of do that huge Bunty generalization here, was kind of, it was an it's a liberal educated group of people who kind of shared some kind of westernized liberal worldview. I don't want to use Nehruvian secular worldview, but a liberal worldview would be the predominant consumers of media. And I remember when Pranay Roy came on with his
World this week.
World This Week, the fact that people were consuming it was a sign of a particular type of water cooler conversation that it enabled. The fact that you were listening to that as opposed to not only for the content, but the style in which it was delivered. And you play that out, and then you see how, and I'm sure some media studies person somewhere has done this analysis much more coherently than we'll ever manage, where is how media at the moment is, where it's basically seen as the more you can shock, the more you can get attention, the more people. So it's a tamasha. It is not. It is not. It's like people hollering at each other. And so yeah, I mean, I know we've done a bit of circles on this one, but yeah, it's very frightening that anybody anonymously can donate. There's complete silence. So this guy Meghnad, he good shout out to him, and all power to him for calling it out, and we are doing our bit to amplify it.
Excellent.
Rohit, what's the next thing that we had to talk about today?
Yeah, well, we should actually think of one of our many business ideas. Maybe we can also start a TV channel called Tamasha TV, if it doesn't already exist. But the final story I wanted to draw attention to is, I didn't see an actual story about it, but on ANI, which is a news network, I saw a tweet about, and a photo, I think, of parents and family members helping students cheat, I believe, in class 10 exams. By passing chits. And I think a few months ago, maybe last year, there was a story that the BBC picked up, several international papers and Indian papers picked up about family members literally risking their lives climbing up two floors in Bihar to help their children cheat or family members cheat. And it was embarrassing, and I think the Bihar government said we're going to crack down on this. And then, of course, we know that we've had the Vyapam scam in Madhya Pradesh, where it's a massive racket. Something like 60 people have been murdered, killed. It goes all the way to the top, apparently. Seats have been for sale. The whole system seems to be rotten. So to me, yeah, I Let's get your take on it, and then I have a couple of thoughts just, towards winding up the show.
Well, I think cheating in exams, how do we do this, Rohit? We can get very moral about this, right? And let's not do that.
Right.
I think there is a fun element to this. And this is not, in our platform, we are not trying to say cheating is a good thing. But I think the way you cheat in Balia, I think that's what caught my attention, was that it was so accepting that this could happen. You know, my kind of mind's eye picture of cheating is whispering the odd answer or asking for the odd answer in an exam hall. When I got stuck, I've done it. I've asked, leaned over and said, what's this? What's that? And just a point of clarification. But what I found really is this is industrial web. Like, it's like mass cheating. It's like on an industrial scale, which is really, really remarkable. And I think so I'm trying to think of, that brainstorming session where the first two people got together in Balia and decided to kind of ramp up the idea. They said that, you will cheat, I will cheat, but we will all cheat. Because if everybody's cheating, then there's nobody to stop because it's us versus them. The power of the idea that they take the whole kind of community aspect of cheating in an exam, that I thought was compelling because, surely it started off as, Pappu saying to Billu that, let us cheat. And then Billu saying, but have you asked Jogesh? And Jogesh saying, have you asked, etc., etc. And then all of a sudden, before you know, there are 20 people nodding in unison that, haan, sab ek milke karte hain.
Right,
and that kind of crowd based sharing economy, the gig economy, replicating itself in exam answers, I thought was remarkable. Right. So that is where the credit's coming in. And we are not saying cheating is good, but that I think there is some humor in there that every 40, 50, however many school kids or college kids were there cheating, I thought it was slightly comic.
No, I think there are, and I think there are some very powerful, Indian values in a positive sense that are displayed here. One, you're absolutely right that, there's great political energy around cheating, because I remember reading many years ago when I was in school that there were some students in a university in Bihar who had actually gone on strike for the right to cheat openly. And,
right.
It was a very powerful movement and I believe they were able to get some concessions. Maybe they weren't allowed to cheat for the full duration of the exam, but for the first hour they were allowed to cheat, and then it was strictly merit-based. But
right.
Also, when you look at these parents, you have an auntie, you have an auntie in her mid-40s, 50s, shimming up, and you have an uncle who might have a bum knee, but he's risking that for his child. And,
yes.
We really, Indians do love their children, and we should see this as symptomatic of this deep love. Finally, one thing that amazes me is that in Madhya Pradesh, if everyone has got a bogus degree, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
You get a dental degree, you get an engineering degree, you get a law degree, you get a BA in history and you're teaching. If all these degrees are obtained in a bogus fashion,
yeah.
Yet miraculously, Madhya Pradesh continues to function. So what what does that say about our knowledge, right? You got a medical degree, and the doctor is okay. I'm sure there's a few screw ups, but if he's not killing people en masse, does that mean that it's the formal education system that's a scam? This has really been bothering me. So you have this full state functioning on the basis of a completely bogus kind of education system.
Yeah.
So that kind of blew my mind,
It's an interesting story. It's an interesting story. I think that's probably kind of takes us to the end. I just had an idea, Rohit, as we were ending. I was just thinking back to how we've done this particular episode. I was thinking one of the things that I'd quite like to do is sometimes in social situations in India, what happens is you go to a party or you go to a gathering, and within the first 30 seconds, people ask you, "Ab kya karte hain? What do you do?" And initially, earlier on in my life, I would try and answer the question, right? But nowadays, when people ask me, I try and make up arbitrary shit. So my line of choice at the moment is, "Aap kya karte hai? Import export." And so then the guy says, "Kiska import?" I says, "Jam, honey, blankets." And I think every time there's a we do an episode when I introduce myself, because you are out there as the academic, the kind of the center of gravity of the show. I think I'll take it upon myself every time to introduce myself as a person pursuing a false profession. I think just we'll do it for a few times and see where it gets us.
Wonderful. And I mean, I'm not the center of gravity of the show. It's both of us, but I like this idea, so the international man of mystery and the staid academic, if you will. I think that should work well.
So, and for today's, my profession is I am the I so you ask me what's your profession?
What's your profession?
I resolve customer service issues. You ask me how?
How?
By beating people up.
Okay. All right. But remember that, Hawaii chappels are the best for that. All right. So,
Anyway.
on that note, good catching up, man. So, have a good
Yeah.
week. And, sorry for the one day delay to our readers, to our listeners. We'll be up with this either by today or by tomorrow. And then we'll see you guys again next week. All right.
All right, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Take care, man. Bye.